My name is Michael Lambert. I'm so proud to be your city librarian. It's an honor to be an invited guest of the Sunset Heights Association of Responsible People, SHARP. And again, thank you, Dennis, Sophia, Perel, John Barry, and the entire board of directors for this gracious invitation. I wasn't familiar with SHARP before, but I'm really glad to get to know you and have this opportunity to engage this evening. So the title of my presentation this evening is San Francisco Public Library, Innovation and Service Excellence. And I thought I'd begin by sharing a little bit about myself. I'm pleased to be here having just celebrated my 7-year anniversary with the City and County of San Francisco. My anniversary date is St. Patrick's Day. So that marked 7 years, my lucky day. And it was back in 2014, I was hired by my predecessor, Luis Herrera. I'm sure many of you know him or remember him. He hired me to be his deputy, and I had the benefit of working alongside him for 4 years and learning from one of the best in the business before he retired in 2018. I assumed the acting role for a year, and I had the good fortune of being appointed by Mayor London Breed into the permanent role. I'm very proud to be the first Asian American to lead the San Francisco Public Library. And for that matter, I'm the first Asian American to lead any major urban library system in the entire country. I was born in Seoul, Korea. I grew up in South Carolina. I was raised by my American grandmother. My father was killed on active duty in the Army, and his parents took me in and raised me. I've worked in libraries for 29 years now. And I started my career in my hometown of Columbia, South Carolina. As you mentioned, prior to San Francisco, I was deputy county librarian in San Mateo County. And I also worked several years in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've dedicated my entire adult life to public service and librarianship. I could not be happier to be in San Francisco. The San Francisco Public Library is the best public library in the country. Hands down. I put a press release in the chat earlier. We were named a 5-star library by Library Journal back in December. And our industry publication, it has certain metrics that determine how busy you are. And we're one of the busiest libraries in the country, thus earning the highest designation. We were also the National Library of the Year in 2018. And we're so fortunate to be so well supported by the residents of San Francisco. You all have agreed to tax yourselves just for library services, and you do have the best library as a result. We have the largest book budget in the country. You know, pre-COVID, we had 28 libraries. They were all open 7 days a week with robust evening and weekend hours. And that's just really unheard of in this day and age. We're just very fortunate to have your support. So thank you so much for that. San Francisco also boasts having the second most libraries per square mile of any major urban area in the country. So what does that mean? Pre-COVID, we saw approximately 6 million visitors annually, and we circulated 12 million checkouts in our last full year of reporting. I also put our annual report in the chat if you'd like to peruse that. The library industry has been experiencing disruption for the past decade, and the COVID pandemic has only accelerated that disruption. In our last full year pre-COVID, about 2/3 of our circulation was physical materials and 1/3 was digital. I can put those links back in the chat later. So during this pandemic, we had to close our doors on Friday the 13th back in March 2020. And we didn't have any access to our physical collections for several months. So we saw a 62% increase in our digital circulation. We have gradually been able to reopen. We finally got the green light from the Office of the City Administrator last fall. And we started with the main library and the Excelsior branch. And we launched our SFPL To Go service. It's a contact-free, safe service model. And we've just gradually built from there. We have 15 libraries open today for SFPL to go. So we've been able to restore access in every supervisorial district. You know, we were lagging a lot of other library systems, but it's because the city and county of San Francisco has relied on our library system and our library workers more than any other city in the country, and how our local community has responded to the COVID pandemic. At its peak, we had 590 staff activated as disaster service workers. We've been staffing food pantries. We were staffing hotels, sheltering people experiencing homelessness. I myself worked in a hotel with my staff for 3 weeks in the Tenderloin. You know, we tended to people's most basic of needs, feeding them, making sure they had supplies in their rooms. We've also staffed COVID testing sites, COVID vaccination sites, and the COVID Central Command, kind of the nerve center for the city's response. We have been supporting information and guidance because that's what librarians are good at. And we still have 113 staff deployed doing contact tracing investigations. So that represents about 13% of our workforce. At its peak, it was over half of my workforce that were deployed. But I'm really proud of the staff. They've been resilient, innovative. They've been adapting to the virtual environment. Our virtual programming has been tremendous. You know, they've created new service models. It's been heartbreaking, but also heartwarming. You know, it's been the hardest thing in my career to shut down a resource as beloved and robust as San Francisco Public Library and keep the doors closed. But you know, I'm proud San Francisco has fared better than any other city in the country, despite being very dense. And I know the library staff have been the backbone of that response. You know, one other thing we've been doing is supporting SFUSD students. We have 9 of our neighborhood branches, including your local Sunset Branch Library, that are community learning hubs. So we've been supporting distance learning for the most vulnerable youth and families in our community, making sure they have access to nutrition and the social and emotional supports that they need to learn and grow and be successful. So we're committed to being community hubs through the end of the SFUSD school year. So that runs through June 2nd, and then we'll be able to get your Sunset Branch reopened. So I'm really looking forward to that. I do see the light at the end of the tunnel. Today was a huge milestone. We even made the national evening news with David Muir on ABC. The main library reopened, and it's just the first floor. We're taking baby steps, but people can come in. They can browse and bounce is what we're calling it. They can get the latest bestsellers or pick out a good read. We've also restored access to the internet for our patrons that don't have connectivity at home. So people can come in and, you know, get on the internet, print something, scan, fax, have access to the equipment. So it was huge. There was a tweet from the Chronicle reporter that just went viral, and the ABC Evening News picked it up. So it was a lot of fun to see that this evening. We're going to get our second floor of the main library open next week with the youth centers, and then floors 3 through 6 will get open before the end of the month. We've been in a hiring freeze for the past year. So I have 136 vacant positions I need to fill. A lot of our librarians who could retire did retire. So between the disaster service worker activations and the vacancies, it's going to be a gradual phased reopening. We should have all of our libraries open by the fall. The next 2 branches to open for in-person services will be Chinatown and Mission Bay. So they're going to open on May 17th and May 18th, respectively. I picked those 2 branches first because they are the only 2 branches that have full HVAC systems. And so working in a big labor town, working in partnership with labor. The staff, they've been very nervous, and rightfully so. So I just wanted to build our reopening for success and start with the three libraries that have the most robust ventilation systems. We're going to open four more branches, if not more, in June for in-person services. So we'll get Ortega, Visitation Valley, and Richmond open on Monday, June 21st. And then Excelsior Branch on Tuesday, June 22nd. So we're still going to be running the SFPL to go at the other locations. We have five branches that are not open in any form or fashion for any service or even as a community learning hub right now: Ocean View, Presidio, Parkside, Glen Park, and one more that's escaping me. So we're going to get those open in late July or August. And hopefully we can get in-person services restored, as quickly as possible, but certainly by the end of the summer at all the locations. It does require more staffing. So I appreciate everybody's patience and understanding as we get staffed up again and get our staff back from the city. It was so heartwarming today to see patrons lined up. We had some people line up about 2.5 hours before we even opened the doors at the main, and they were so excited to come inside. It really brought tears to my eyes. So I'm excited. We're going to get the library system reopened. We have a lot of other projects that are happening. We're renovating our historic Mission Branch library, like the Sunset Branch. It's one of seven historic Carnegie libraries in San Francisco that were constructed with funding from the industrialist and philanthropist Andrew Carnegie. So we're gonna pump about $20 million into the Mission Branch and restore the historical grandeur of that facility and make it better, enhance the mechanical system so it has robust heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're also trying to build a new library in the Ocean View neighborhood. Ocean View has the smallest library in the city. It's only got about 2,500 usable square feet, and that community is historically underserved. So we're going to try to build a beacon, a regional branch there that will really provide a new model of service for us, and just be a regional draw in San Francisco. We're also going to renovate the historic Chinatown branch. It's also a Carnegie library. So we're going to put about $30 million into that branch. It was renovated very badly in the 90s. I mean, it was just butchered what they did with the seismic retrofit. So we want to restore the historic grandeur of that facility, but also improve it. We want to open up the roof. There's some tremendous views of the city from the roof of Chinatown that people don't have access to. So we want to open that space up, allow people to go up there and read or do Tai Chi, just really enjoy the environment. So I'm really excited about that. With COVID, it's really provided us an opportunity to be bold and think about the future. So we're also going to be embarking on a comprehensive strategic planning process. We're going to be coming to your district. We want to engage every supervisorial district in the city. We want to hear about what your aspirations are for the future, for your neighborhood, but also for your library system, and really set a bold new vision and revisit our mission of the San Francisco Public Library. We've anchored San Francisco's neighborhoods for over 140 years, and we just want to make sure that we're responsive to the most pressing needs in the community for the next 140 years. I also hope that I can count on your support to renew the Library Preservation Fund. Our funding is going to sunset in June of 2023. I was hoping to get it on the ballot last year, but COVID just really derailed that. So I get one more crack at it in November of 2022. So I really hope that all of you will continue to support and invest in your library system. I think this past year has demonstrated how vital our library system is to the resiliency and the vitality of our community. And again, I'm just honored to be your humble civil servant here. I'm proud to be your city librarian. And that concludes my presentation, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
I have a question. What have you learned during the pandemic, things that you've had to pivot to that you're going to keep because you figured out that it works better than something that you did before the pandemic, if there's anything?
That's a fantastic question. I think we learned that we can be successful in this hybrid environment with some programming having a virtual component. I want to get back in the Claret Auditorium and pack the house, but the Claret can only hold about 225 people. And we've had some programs during the pandemic that have drawn over 5,000 people and an international audience. Our One City, One Book event with Chanel Miller. We recently had a inaugural address from our new San Francisco Poet Laureate. We had our Night of Ideas, which, pre-COVID, we would pack 5,000 people into the main library on a Saturday night. Well, we still drew 5,000 people. It was just online. So we're going to hang on to that, and figure out a way to do both simultaneously. Even our library commission meetings, we've had more participation in our library commission meetings than I've ever witnessed in my 7 years in San Francisco. I mean, previously we might have 20, 30 people on a good night show up, and now we're seeing 150 people regularly attend our library commission meetings. So that's been pretty phenomenal how accessible technology is making things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got a couple questions in chat room. You can take those, or would you like me to read them off?
Sure, if you want to read them off, that'd be helpful, Dennis.
Sure. Nina Moore says, as a city that speaks so many languages, what is the commitment to books in foreign languages, particularly in ebook format? I'm particularly interested in Italian, Spanish, French, and Portuguese.
Absolutely. We have collections in roughly 50 languages. And anything and everything that's out there that we can get our hands on, we're going to buy it because you all have supported us and enabled us to have the largest book budget per capita of any large urban library in the country. So I do know many of our platforms have foreign language materials. We're able to subscribe in some formats that are exclusively in a given language. I know some of the Asian periodicals we're able to get. It's a new marketplace, so it's really challenging with licensing and some of the agreements that we have to negotiate with our vendors. But if it's out there and we can get it, we will. So if there's something that we don't have, please email me. My email is citylibrarian@sfpl.org. I'll put it in the chat.
We have another question. Peninsula Library has an innovative program in offering tools that can be lent. Sewing machines, for example. Oakland has a tool lending library. Any thoughts for San Francisco?
I am open to it, but I'm going to be frank. We've tried some of this. We had a tool lending library before, and the tools didn't come back. We would lend them out, and people kept them. More recently, we tried lending laptop computers out with mobile hotspots, and we had the same problem. The loss rate was way too high, and the equipment was too expensive to just let it go. And the library commission, they wanted me to pull the plug on that. They couldn't see continuing to budget for that equipment and not seeing the return on the investment. So I have to be a good steward of the resources that you entrust me with. But that being said, you know, I'm open to giving it the old college try and trying again. I'm intrigued by, you know, the peninsula loaning out sewing machines. You know, I spent, I spent several years on the peninsula, I spent 8 years of my career in San Mateo County. So I know they have an innovative library system and they do some good work down there.
Another question is, San Francisco Public Library has gone above and beyond during the pandemic. The breadth of offerings online has been amazing. I've checked out so many books. SFPL is definitely one of the best things in the city.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. In getting to the question that was asked earlier, what's something that we're going to take away from this? I've learned so much about my staff. They have just blown me away. And, you know, this is a big labor town. It can be hard with civil service classifications, but our staff have demonstrated flexibility and agility that I didn't know was possible. Some of the things that they've taken on, and they're continuing to serve in leadership roles in how we're responding to this pandemic. So I hope to carry that forward, because we do need to innovate and continue to develop the organization so that we can continue to meet your needs.
Got a question. What is the best way to return overdue books?
Well, we have 15 locations currently open, and, you know, come June, we'll have the 9 community hubs come back online as neighborhood libraries. So you can wait for Sunset to open in June. I'm targeting no later than the week of June 21st. If we can get it open sooner, I will. We have to move the community hub out, and then we have to get our staff back in there to get the space ready again for library service. But in your area, the Anza branch, the Ortega branch, those are some of the branches. Merced branch further down 19th Avenue. Their book drop should be open now. I see a question about the giant big book sale. And I know the Friends and Foundation of the San Francisco Public Library, they were deeply impacted by the pandemic. I know they moved out of their pricey offices on Van Ness, and they've consolidated their operations. They have a book donation center in the Dog Patch, and so they've moved their offices there to save money. I know they also had to close their bookstore out at Fort Mason, and I think that was kind of the nerve center for the giant big book sale. So I'm not sure when that's going to come back, but I will note that and relay that desire to the executive director, Marie Cipella. I know they're doing a lot of their book sales online now, but I do hope that the big book sale comes back when it's safe. I'm going to open the Friends bookstore at the main library. And I know they do sidewalk sales in front on Larkin Street. So I'm looking forward to seeing that come back soon too.
That's it for what's in the chat. Sophia, do we have any other questions in the sign up area?
That was about it. I mean, we talked about when the Sunset branch will be reopening. That was a really hot question.
So somebody's asking about donations. If you go to friendssfpl.org, I'll put it in the chat. That's the Friends website, and you can contact them. I know their donation center out in Dog Patch, they're taking donations there. But if you contact them, you know, they may be willing to work something out with you. I don't know if they do house calls. I know they have a van and they have some staff, so they may be willing to come out and pick it up.
And someone says, we love the virtual programming. The virtual programming tie into the arts, such as events, such as the Frida Kahlo exhibit, Jane Kim, and the SF Environment.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, there's been some amazing programming during this pandemic online. I don't know if you've heard our new poet laureate, but his inaugural address was like a collective. He invited some of his friends and other poets, and it was powerful. And I know we have a great lineup for Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. We're always one of the leading partners in celebrating culture and heritage of our community in San Francisco. And I know we have some author events. There's a cooking program with Martin Yan, I believe, the former celebrity.
Just did their question. Anyone else with more questions?
Michael, quick question. Is there a place where we can go watch those events?
Absolutely. It's all on our website, sfpl.org. I'll put that in the chat. I think you can also go to APA Heritage.
I think he's typing. I think his question was something along the lines of he has a book that might be outside of the city library's budget. But I'm not sure if he wants to donate the book or, I'm not sure. Dave, we'll wait for you to type your question in.
It's very generous of him to want to donate an item in his personal collection. Typically, we don't add donations to the collection unless they have a local interest. So we have a San Francisco History Center. And occasionally, we'll accept donations into that collection. But most everything in our circulating collection, it's items that we can secure through our vendors and things that we can replace if necessary. Yes. So Dave, let's follow up. If you want to email me at citylibrarian@sfpl.org, we can talk offline about your donation.
Can you hear me, Dennis?
Yep.
My question for Michael is, Michael, how would we know what the people in the different neighborhoods are reading so that if we were going to go to see a friend in a different neighborhood, we could do some preparatory reading so as not to look stupid going over to another neighborhood? I'd like to know what the most, are there stats that are available to see the number, 1 through 10 in fiction or nonfiction across the whole city or by neighborhood and that kind of thing?
That's a great question. I know every year for the annual report, we compile what the 10 most popular books are. I don't know that we do that on an ongoing basis and share that information. I'm just going to look at the front page of the website real quick. We really don't promote what people are reading, but we do promote new books and books that are coming soon. I can tell you, I started reading that book, Home Baked. I don't know if you heard of that, but it's being promoted by Heather Knight and Peter Hartlaw, the Chronicle authors, writers, the journalists. They're partnering with the San Francisco Public Library on a book club, and it's such a great read. I love reading about San Francisco history, and it's about this lady. It's her writing her mom's story. Her mom was baking medicinal marijuana brownies like in the 70s and selling them down at Fisherman's Wharf and selling them on the Haight. And it's the whole story about how she would go up to like Mendocino and get her marijuana and bring it down to San Francisco. And it's just a fun read. I haven't finished the book. And then I also started reading Gary Kayima's book recently. It's another San Francisco book, but I love nonfiction and memoirs, history, leadership books. And those are a couple authors that I'm reading right now.
Yeah. The city has a lot of well-known and successful authors. It'd be fun to be able to tune in and hear those various people on a given night of the week reading from their own works. And then we could ask them to recommend more current works. We had a guy named Harold Gilliam, and he was the recipient of various prizes, and He was the Chronicle's environmental writer for many years, and lots of other, and, you know, we probably have our own equivalent of Amy Tan, although she's from Oakland. You know, there are local writers of all stripes here that it'd be fun to hear them reviewing and reading their own stuff and recommending the new ones who are coming along behind them. And it's a pretty lively scene out there in the bookstores, you know. You've probably been to Green Apple Books over on Clement Street.
Yes.
That guy, he's always good authors in there. And, it, you know, you could combine with him and have televised his author nights and that kind of, there's a lot of cross-pollination that could be done.
Absolutely. We had Chanel Miller for our One City, One Book program. And I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she was the young lady that was sexually assaulted on the campus of Stanford. And her story is just so powerful. She actually has an art exhibit right now at the Asian Art Museum, if you want to go check that out.
Do you allow, does the library encourage or have regular meetings of the public who might want to come in and talk about various off-the-wall kinds of ways of promoting the library? I would buy a t-shirt. I like to wear t-shirts that, you know, not just the Giants and the A's and the Niners, but why not have a t-shirt that promotes the Inner Sunset Library or whatever, you know, the Outer Sunset Library and that kind of thing.
That's a great idea. I wish our friends and foundation folks were on the call tonight, because they're our advocacy arm and they're really good at promoting SFPL. I think that's a great idea. They could probably make some money selling those t-shirts.
I spent $36 to buy a t-shirt from a guy who is the number one automotive expert in the world, and he doesn't charge. He refuses to advertise or even do tie-ins with products because he wants to be neutral.
And, wow.
But he's allowed a t-shirt maker to come in, and he's got more money coming in from his t-shirts than he does. And he's going to give it all away because all I needed was to raise a few bucks for his grandchildren's college. But I mean, people love to advertise what they believe in or find, you know, worth talking about. And I would be happy to wear a t-shirt. Plus, it would make me look like I read books. And that kind of thing.
So. With that, I think it's time to wrap it up and let Michael run away and have his dinner.
Well, I could really stay here all night and talk libraries and books, but I really appreciate your invitation. And I look forward to meeting all of you in the coming weeks or months ahead. I'd love to come to one of your meetings and see your offices and shake your hand. What a concept.
Yeah, it would be terrific. We're so looking forward to live meetings again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for coming by. And like I said, if you wanted to show this, it will be on the Sharp Facebook page, and we'll promote it there and be a wrap up of everything on our website. So
right on.
Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for all your support. Nice to meet you.
Thanks again. Thank you.
Bye-bye.